So good to see everyone this Lord's Day morning. Good to be back home. It was, as always, it was good to get away, recharge some batteries, but it's always good to be back. I appreciate very much those men who stepped up and filled the vacancies in my absence. So thankful that we are working with a congregation that has members who are willing and able to step up in that capacity. Encourage you to open your Bible to the book of Hebrews this morning. We are going to be studying only from this book, looking at passages from the book of Hebrews. As we look at these admonitions that are given by the writer found throughout this book, let us, that is, we are encouraged as a collectivity to involve ourselves in different actions that are going to help us to get to heaven. Now let's turn our attention to the scriptures and let's talk about this admonition that's found here in the book of Hebrews. Let us. This phrase appears 63 times in the New Testament in the New King James Version, the version I use most often. But of all the books of the New Testament, it appears most in the book of Hebrews. It's found 13 times in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is a very interesting book, a very unique book in the New Testament, in that it was written to Jewish Christians who were thinking about going back to Judaism. They were suffering tremendously for their faith. They were suffering at the hands of their Jewish relatives and Jewish friends. And due to this suffering, due to this persecution, they were desiring to go back to what they were more familiar with. To go back to what they used to have, to go back to what was comfortable to them. And so the writer here, and we don't know who it is, most likely is Paul, but we don't know for certain. The writer, inspired by the Holy Spirit, sets forth in the book of Hebrews an airtight case. There is argument after argument after argument laid side by side, showing that what they have in Christ is far superior to what they left behind in Judaism, and what they left behind in the law of Moses, what they left behind in the temple services there in Jerusalem. Why would you let go of what is superior in order to go back and to take what is inferior? Why would you let go of the salvation of your souls in order to go back into a law that cannot truly save? Let us. That phrase is found throughout the book of Hebrews. The brethren as a whole, along with the writer, and he includes himself in this, let us. They're all encouraged to do things together that will help them to endure the suffering and to remain faithful unto Christ. Now, while we today may not be tempted to go back to the law of Moses like they were, still yet the admonition needs to be heeded by all of God's people. There are things that us as a collectivity that we need to give our attention to that will help us to remain faithful and to see the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls. So I want to take a look at these. There are five things that I want us to focus on, five things in which the writer says, let us involve ourselves in these activities. Number one, if you look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, the writer says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 4 and at verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The first thing that these Jewish Christians needed was some reassurance. They needed some confidence that they had the truth, that they were on the right track, because they've left Judaism, they've clung to this gospel, but now they're suffering for it. Now they're being persecuted by those that they've left behind, and there can begin to be this doubt in their mind, am I doing the right thing? Have I really done the right thing in turning my back? And so there needs to be this confidence. There needs to be this assurance that, yes, you have access to the throne of grace. As a matter of fact, much better access, a much stronger access than you had under the law of Moses. In Hebrews chapter 10, if you turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That goes with chapter 4, verse 16. Have that confidence to enter the throne of grace. Having that boldness to enter the holiest. The holiest was the Holy of Holies. That was the place in the tabernacle, later on in the temple, that represented the presence of God Himself. The writer says, have boldness to enter into that. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Don't let there be any doubts. Don't let there be any doubts of what you've done. Don't let there be any doubts about the surety of what you are doing now. Enter with confidence. Enter with boldness. Come before that throne of grace. If you remember, under the Old Testament, under the law of Moses, that Holy of Holies that represented the presence of God, no one was allowed in there at all, except one person, one day of the year, and only after he had first offered sacrifices for himself to make himself pure so that he could enter into that presence of God behind that veil. When Jesus died on the cross, that veil was torn in two. Through the death of Jesus Christ, now we all have access to the presence of God. We all have access. Draw near in full assurance. Our sins are forgiven. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace. And what I want to do for just a moment is I want us to take this admonition, and I want us to go back to what we looked at in our Bible class just this last hour. Remember, Moses was warned, take off your sandals. You're standing on holy ground. And as we looked at Isaiah, and we looked at Ezekiel, and we looked at the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, they showed that reverence and that respect when they found themselves in the presence of God. Now, do we have a contradiction here? Do we have Moses and others who are hiding their face when they find themselves in the presence of God? And then the writer of the book of Hebrews say, no, just go right on in there. No, we don't have a contradiction. What we do have is the reminder of how awesome God is, how incredibly powerful He is, how His holiness and His glory is such that men have to hide their face from it. And yet the writer of the book of Hebrews says, don't be afraid. You belong in the presence of God. You have a place there in His presence. So don't be afraid to enter in His presence. Don't let there be any reluctance whatsoever. And that's where we as Christians, we have to find that balance. We have to find that balance between reverence, having that reverence and that respect, but still yet that self-assurance that we belong there. Let us have that confidence that we belong in the presence of God. And let us make sure we draw into His presence with reverence and with respect. But we do belong there. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. And that's just exactly what we've done right now collectively. Let us assemble so we can approach the throne of grace. But it's also something that we do individually. When we offer up prayer unto God, let us pray with confidence, knowing that our prayers are going into the very presence of God. Let's have that assurance. We have that in Christ. Let's use that. Let's take advantage of that. Secondly, let us remain faithful to our confession. That was the problem that needed to be addressed here with these Hebrew Christians. They had confessed their belief in Christ. They had obeyed the gospel. They had started living for Christ. Now they were being tempted to turn back. And so they needed the encouragement to continue on. Staying here in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. We just saw verse 22, let us draw near. Now look at verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast that confession. You've made that confession. Now don't let go of it. Hold on to it. Hang on to it. Don't let it go. What is that confession? What is that profession? It's what we have acknowledged that we believe. And we believe that God is real. We believe Jesus is his son. And we've made a commitment to him by entering into a covenant through baptism. Let's hold to that. In essence, simply put, keep the faith. Keep the faith. Don't give it up. They'd made a profession about Christ. They needed to hold to it and not waver from it. Why? Because he who promised is faithful. If you look at verse 23, that's why you don't let go. Because the one on the other end of that promise isn't going to let go. God promised, Jesus promised, they're faithful. They're not going to let go, so you don't let go. Who is this who has promised, who is faithful? Go back to chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, we looked at verse 16. Back up to verse 14. If you'll notice in verse 16, the first verse that we read, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, we talked about that. We need to have that confidence, that boldness, but it's based on something. Therefore, let's back up a couple of verses and see what it's based on. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. We can have confidence when we pray unto God, when we enter into that holiest, the presence of God. We can have confidence because Jesus, our high priest, is there pleading our case for us. And that's not like any high priest that Israel ever had. A man who was fallible that had to offer sacrifices for his own sins. And then we had to trust him to go in on our behalf and make supplication before God that would be acceptable on our behalf, when the high priest probably doesn't even know my name, doesn't even know who I am. He's got to go in and make supplication for me. No, Jesus knows who I am. He knows me. He knows what my weaknesses are. He knows what my needs are. So I can have confidence when I pray unto the Father. I can enter into the holiest with confidence and with boldness, but I need to hang on to that and not let that go, because the one who is on the other end, Jesus Christ, is the faithful one. He is the faithful high priest. I need to hold on. You and I need to remain faithful, because God's people haven't always done that. God's people haven't always remained faithful, and they've lost out. If you look at chapter 4, verse 1, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Let's fear. Let's show respect. Let's show reverence. Let's take this matter seriously. Because our eternity depends on it. The promise of entering into his rest depends on it. We need to fear and take it seriously. Verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. And that example, in the verses that are in between, that example was the generation of the children of Israel that wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Every one of them died. They weren't allowed into the promised land because of their lack of belief, because of their disobedience. The writer of the book of Hebrews says, you better not be like them. You better not let go of that precious promise that you have like they did. You need to see it through to the very end. Brethren, this is written for us here today. We have that same precious promise that's been given to us. And God tells us through his word, let's hang on to it. Don't let go of it. See it through to the very end. Third, the Hebrew writer encourages them to go on to perfection, or to go on to maturity. In Hebrews chapter 5 at verse 12, and we're going to read on into chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have both their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Look what the writer says. Here's the reason you're weak. Here's the reason you're considering going back, is because you haven't developed your faith. You haven't studied. You haven't grown strong like you should have. Because of that, I can't talk to you about some of the things I want to talk to you about, the writer says. But instead, he encourages them in chapter 6, verse 1, let us go on to perfection. Perfection there should be understood as maturity. You're immature in your knowledge. You're immature in your thinking. Let's take care of that. Let's make a goal and let's move toward maturity. Let's understand what the scriptures teach. It's not enough that we keep from going backwards. One thing that's going to help us to hang on to our confession is if we go forward, if we work towards spiritual maturity. In Hebrews chapter 12, following up chapter 11, which is the Faith Hall of Fame, in which we read about all the great saints of old, starting with Abel and going all the way through the Old Testament, many mentioned by name, others are included by statements that we read up here in the chapter. Now, after this great chapter, application is made to present day. Verse 12, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that would be all those mentioned in chapter 11. They've run their leg of the race. Now they've gone up into the stands, and they're cheering us on as we're running today. Since we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses who are cheering us on, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We are to lay aside every weight. When an athlete trains, even today, as someone is training with running, oftentimes they'll train with weights on their ankles. And they'll have those weights there, and they train carrying those weights. They do that while they're training, but when it's time to run, they take off those weights. They take off those things that would hold them back, so that they can run as quickly as possible and they can show that endurance. And that's what the writer here has mention of and is bringing to our minds. Anything that would hold us back, anything that would weigh us down, we need to take those things off. And that goes back to self-denial. Remember what Jesus taught so many times, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny self. Take off those weights. Whatever it is that's holding us back, and it may be sin, the sin which so easily ensnares us would have been the sin of doubt. That's what was getting the Hebrew, have I really done the right thing? No, I think I need to go back to the law of Moses. No, lay aside that sin of doubt, that sin of questioning, but for us, whatever sin it is in our life that keeps popping up, that keeps showing up, whatever it is that we've made a small room for it in the corner of our heart, and we're allowing it to stay there where we know it continues to harm us, let's get rid of it. Let's lay it aside, whatever it may be. It may be filthy entertainment. It may be hatred or bitterness that we harbor in our heart. It may be a love of lying or cursing or gossiping or any number of sins committed with the tongue. Whatever it may be, let's lay that aside. And whatever it may be that weighs us down, every weight. And these weights, these things that lay us down, lay aside every weight, it may not necessarily be something that is sinful in and of itself. But it may still be something that is in our life and in our heart that's keeping us from giving our all to God. It may be a hobby. There's nothing wrong with having a hobby. Many hobbies are very innocent. morally neutral. They're not wicked. They're not bad. But if it takes up all of our time, and we're spending all of our time pursuing that instead of being the kind of husband or wife we're supposed to be, the kind of parent we're supposed to be, employee we're supposed to be, the kind of servant of God that we're supposed to be, that's a weight that is holding us down. And we need to get rid of it. We need to do some inventory in our lives. We need to lay aside these things that would hold us back. We need to go on to perfection. We need to go on to maturity. We need to keep going forward. And as we're doing that, we need to remember one another. Yes, we're going to be judged as individuals. We stand before God as individuals, but we are helping one another in the church. Hebrews chapter 10, we looked at verse 23, where we were told to, we were given a let us admonition. And we looked at verse 23. Verse 22, let us draw near. Verse 23, let us hold fast. Verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's important that we are committed to do this as individuals, but we must also be committed to helping one another to grow and to remain faithful. We are to consider one another. That word consider is translated from a Greek word that W. Vine says means to perceive clearly. It means you're looking and you're seeing others and you're seeing their needs. You're not just thinking about yourself. We're to thoughtfully consider the needs of one another, to provoke and to stir one another on to love and to good works, to exhort one another on to greater faithfulness. And we do this in our assemblies. We do this when we sing. Colossians 3, verse 16, we teach and admonish one another through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So we encourage one another in our worship as we're singing. We encourage one another. We exhort one another as we're partaking of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a memorial. It's a memorial to be taken part or to be partaken of by those who are believers. And remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that as we partake, we profess Him. We profess Him. As we're partaking of the Lord's Supper, and I hear everyone as the trays are being passed, and I hear that crack when each one takes a piece of that bread. When I hear that, what I hear is each of you say, I believe too. I believe too. I believe too. And as I hear those cups come up out of the tray, and I hear that taint, that faint little tink as they go back into the tray, I believe too. I believe too. And I leave here knowing I'm not alone. I'm not the only one. That we all believe. You see, we adore and we encourage one another when we're here. But guess what? If I'm not here, I can't be exhorted. And if I'm not here, I can't be doing any exhorting. The person who willfully forsakes the assembling of the saints together doesn't have a let us attitude. He or she has a let me attitude. It's about me. It's about what I want. It's about what I'm going to get. It's about what I'm going to receive. And that's so opposed to the entire book of Hebrews and the entire scriptures, which repeatedly says, let us. Let us consider one another and think about one another and stir up one another, encourage one another. This is something that we must be doing. And number five, finally, let us continually offer worship. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28 is a passage we looked at in our class this morning. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, For our God is a consuming fire. It was pointed out in class this morning that let us have grace. That word grace could also be understood as gratitude. In fact, the New American Standard Version translates it that way. Let us have gratitude. Let's be grateful. When we assemble ourselves together, we come with, among other things, gratitude in our hearts. And we're grateful for what God has done for us. When we assemble around this table, we're grateful for the sacrifice that has been made. When we put our offering in that plate, we're grateful that we have something to give. When we sing, we're grateful we have voices. When we listen, we're grateful that we have the Word. When we pray, we're grateful that we have a God who cares, a God who hears, and a God who will answer. Let us have this gratitude. Let's retain the proper attitude towards God and the privilege that we have of receiving a true heavenly kingdom that cannot be shaken. And what a tragedy it would be to have this eternal blessing offered unto us and we disqualify ourselves because of a careless attitude. No, let us have grace. Let's be grateful. Let's worship with reverence and with godly fear. In chapter 13 and verse 15, chapter 13 and verse 15 says, therefore by him, that is by Christ, not by Moses. Moses couldn't get this for you. It's by Christ. Therefore by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Under the law of Moses, we would have to bring an animal. We'd have to bring grain offering. We'd have to bring oil and wine. We'd have to bring all these physical things. But under this new and better covenant, what is our sacrifice? It's our praise that we offer unto God. So, brethren, listen to me. When it's time for us to begin singing, you set up and you open up your mouth and you sing. You sing. Because that's praise and sacrifice that's offered unto God. And it doesn't matter if you're in tune or not. Some people can't tell the difference. When we were gone last week, I had someone compliment my singing. I thought, I'd hate to hear the singing where you're at. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it sounds like. What matters is that you're giving it from a pure and grateful heart unto your Creator. So open up your mouth and sing and offer that sacrifice unto God through Jesus Christ. And let us do that together. That's what happens in our assemblies. We're in the presence of God and we're offering praise and thanksgiving and sacrifice unto Him. No, we're not to just sit and wait for heaven. Let us worship God now. Because I'll tell you, if you don't enjoy assembling with the saints and worshiping God now, what do you think heaven's going to be like? Heaven is the assembly where we spend eternity offering praise unto God. This is just rehearsal. This is getting us ready for eternity. That's more than rehearsal, though. I don't want to trivialize it. It's important. It's essential. But there's a better day coming in which we'll no longer be separated from God in any way, but our worship will be offered unto Him. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Let us continually offer up the sacrifice of praise unto God. The Lord's church is not a collection of groups or cliques or parties or families. The Lord's church is a collection of individuals. Each and every one of us individually important unto God. And each and every one of us joined together in Christ. But this admonition, let us, emphasizes the togetherness of this collectivity. It emphasizes the family attitude, the body of Christ figure. It emphasizes us joining ourselves together, and when we're joined together in doing the work of the Lord, no one can stop that. So let us bind ourselves together, band ourselves together, and do those things that God calls upon us to do, not just here in the book of Hebrews, but throughout His Word. The only way that we can make it through, faithful to the end, is if we help one another to make it through, faithful to the end. I thank you very much for your kind consideration, thoughtful consideration of things that we've had to say from the book of Hebrews this morning. If there's any here who are subject to the invitation, we're going to offer it at this time. Maybe you're ready to become one of the us. You're ready to become a child of God. You want to be a part of the family of God. The invitation is going to be offered and be an opportunity for you to step forward, to obey the gospel, to confess your faith in Christ, repent of your sins, and let us baptize you for the forgiveness of your sins. Maybe as a Christian, you need help in a certain area. Maybe you need to take care of something in a public way. Whatever your need is, we invite you to let it be known as we stand and as all of us together sing this in the faith.